Hope everybody's had a good week as we're capping off this week. Looking forward to Lord's Day on Sunday. And we want to finish off this study in Luke chapter 10. And thank you once again for joining us. Let me review. We looked at Martha in this text here in Luke chapter 10. And as we've been looking at Luke chapter 10, we began a few weeks ago by looking at the fact that we are to be kingdom-minded. Then last week, we looked at the fact to be servant-hearted, and we began a thought about being Christ-focused here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, let me read this to you again, because we looked at Martha's perspective of being needs-focused rather than Christ-focused, but we're going to flip it and talk about Mary in this Bible study as we finish this chapter up. So let me read this to you again, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." What a wonderful passage of Scripture in just four verses. And we looked at the fact that we used the illustration of a sinkhole, and we talked about your inner world and your outer world, and they should line up, because whatever it is you put in your inner world, you got to guard your heart from pollution of sin and from the culture. You got to ground your life on the Word of God. You've got to cultivate the Holy Spirit working in your life. You got to cultivate, build your life on that foundation, your values, your priorities. And whatever you're putting in your heart will come out eventually in your outer world. We can only manage our outer world for so much until life's hot water experiences pull what's inside out. If your mind is feeding on junk, you never know. You might have some bad language when the hot water experience of life hits you, and you may be a bad testimony to somebody, or you may lash out in anger, or you may be worried or troubled or things like that. That's why we must take very careful, very special care, of what we put inside of our hearts. Ask the question, are we needs focused more than Christ focused? And I talked about the idea, being needs focused is not bad. Servant heart, kingdom minded, being busy for him, that's good stuff, man. But don't allow that to keep you from being Christ focused. It's a matter of priorities. Now, we looked at Martha and how when we were more needs focused and we neglect focusing on Christ, we're distracted by too much serving, just as Martha was. We are worried about things we cannot control. We get upset at the very people we love. We lash out in anger. Not intentionally. So we must take time to be holy. We must look at Mary's example here, sitting at the feet of Jesus, which is actually my first point. Our focus is shifted to Mary, and let's apply this message. How can we be more Christ-focused, balancing that out with servant-hearted and kingdom-minded? Number one, I've already mentioned it. Number one, I must sit at the feet of Jesus every day. Notice Mary here in this text. While Martha is busy and distracted with much serving, Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet. The word there means, the tense of this word means that she was sitting at the feet of a teacher, a very customary practice for pupils, the official disciples of a teacher in that day, to sit beside or near. But in that culture, it was men. Men who were taught by the rabbi. Women in that culture had no rights and they served. Women never sat at the feet of a rabbi. So Mary appears to be the opposite to Martha, sitting at Jesus, sitting at his feet with an attitude of hearing his word, because Jesus, what came out of Jesus' mouth was the word of God. He's the Son of God, pointing to the word of God. So an attitude of hearing his word, listening to his teaching, this violated several cultural principles of that day. Mary of Bethany, she's seen in the gospel narrative three times. And on each occasion, she's in the same place. When you want to find Mary of Bethany in the scripture, you will find her three places, all three times there at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, we see her at his feet listening to his word. John 11, 32, you will find her fell at his feet and shared her woe. And then in John 12, verse 3, came to his feet and poured out her worship. And it's interesting to note in each three of those instances, there was some sort of fragrance. In Luke chapter 10 here, there's food being prepared. John chapter 11, it's the fragrance of death. John chapter 12, it's the fragrance of perfume. What an example for us. When was the last time you put your busyness aside? When was the last time you put your cares and your worries aside and just sat at the feet of Jesus in prayer, listening to him, talking to him? Be still and know that he is God. Psalm 46. There's a translation of that word, be still, best I ever saw in my life. Cease striving. Cease striving with yourself. Cease striving with all the worries and cares and business of this world. Just cease striving, be still, and know that he is God. When was the last time you logged off social media? Turned your cell phone off. Turned off the television. Turned off the news. Turned off the computer. Turned off the video games. Turned off your cell phone. And just sat in quiet with your Bible open and the Lord talking. In the stillness and the silence. So we don't take time to be still anymore. We got too much noise going on. We got too much busyness going on. I say this and I'll say this again. Our churches lack power and true growth because they lack prayer. Everybody's too distracted and too busy to just be still and sit at the feet of Jesus, resting in him, learning of him, casting their cares upon him, and begging him for his power, begging him for his strength, begging him to do what we cannot do on our own. We talk about worship, we talk about prayer, but we're actually not doing it at times. I've been guilty of this in my own life because of the distractions, the worries, and the upsetting things that still are joy. In order to be a Christ-focused Christian, we must set aside time each and every day and simply sit at his feet and learn from him. How are we being Christ-focused? We sit at the feet of Jesus every day. The second principle I see in verse 39, not only must I sit at his feet every day, I must hear the words of Jesus every day. Verse 39, she sat at Jesus' feet, and also notice she heard his word. Not only was she sitting at his feet, she was hearing his word, the very word of God. When life gets complicated, simplicity is the best policy. In the busyness of life, setting time aside to be alone and silent with God can be one of the most difficult choices that we can make. The word hear in that context, hearing the word, receiving it in your heart, obeying it, applying it. Our problem today is so many people know the word of God. Many know the Bible better than I do. Many serve. Many are kingdom-minded. But while many know that it is vitally important to spend time with the Lord, they may know, they don't. The last statistic I read was that 19% of every church will read their Bible every day this week. 50 to 60% of the church will read it 3 to 4 times this week. 20 to 21% of a church will not even pick up their Bible unless they take it off the back dash or the back seat of their car for Sunday church just to put it back there next Sunday. And we wonder why the church is powerless to change the culture today. We wonder why we have so many shallow and carnal Christians today. We wonder why the current statistic of every local church actually watching their online services during this COVID outbreak is at 48%. That's just an average stat I found. Why is that? We're not being Christ focused. We have allowed the idol of self. We have set up that idol in our heart, what's convenient for us. And we try to be in control. We try to put God in a box that we can manage. We rely on our own opinions. And man, there's a lot of opinions out there. And the opinion of His Word, the Bible, this book, is our foundation as believers. If you don't build your life upon it, hearing it and doing it, you will head for a sinkhole experience in your life. Rest assured. So what does the Lord have to do in your life before you even hear or pay attention to Him? Jesus says over and over in the New Testament, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He says, listen, don't just sit at my feet, but also hear what I've got to say. Hear with an intent to obey and apply. Be hungry for my words. Well, we sit at His feet, we hear His words. But number three, I must rest in the peace of Jesus every day. Verse 42. Martha's attempt to pull Jesus to her side of the dispute backfired. Rather than hear Jesus affirm her service to everybody in the house, because understand, they're two sisters. Jesus was in a situation. Martha was mad at her sister Mary for not helping her. And she says, Jesus, you make her help me. And she was expecting some sort of, Martha, thank you so much for all this. But all she heard was, Martha, Martha. The doubling of her name at the beginning of an address expresses deep emotion. Not disappointment, not condescension, not even disapproval. He expressed compassion. If there's a way I can relate to this, man, there have been many times when I was a kid, I heard from several Sunday school teachers, several people who invested in my life, I would do something completely immature and childish, and I would hear, ding, ding. They weren't disapproving of me. They weren't mad at me. They just were, it was compassion. Ding, ding. As if one of these days you're going to get it. Jesus understands the circumstances here and the effect that had on her personality. See, Jesus knew her, just like He knows us. He appreciated her sincere desire to see everybody served. He acknowledged her efforts, noting only that she was worried and troubled, which resulted her in feeling bothered or emotionally upset. He is saying here in verse 41, you're worried and troubled about many things. He's acknowledging, hey, you're doing a good job, but you're allowing that to trouble you and worry you. He is saying, in effect, I can see you care, Martha, but you care too much. Notice what our Lord did. He didn't lecture Martha on the foolishness of worry. He didn't scold her or lash back out in anger at her. He reduced her burden, which is what He wants to do to us when we're still and spend time with Him. Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many, but one thing is needful. In the context of that day, Jesus was telling Martha, one simple dish for the meal is all that's necessary, rather than its elaborate preparations you've made. But the application is this. Here, you fill in the blanks. You are worried and bothered about so many things, but one thing is lacking. You are worried and bothered about so many dishes, but one dish is needed. You are worried and bothered about so many people, but one person is missing. Jesus probably left the blanks empty to mean all three. Martha was fretting over many matters, yet she was neglecting the only important matter, listening to Jesus. Martha was scurrying. She was trying to prepare a large meal when something simple would have sufficed, allowing her to enjoy spending time with Jesus too. Everyone in the room was with Jesus except one, Martha. She kind of did some overkill. Then Jesus chose to praise Mary's example to teach Martha and teach His disciples, who He had been teaching to be kingdom-minded and servant-hearted, that Mary had chosen the good part of His unexpected visit, the part that cannot be taken away. She set aside temporal concerns to focus on the eternal. She ignored the trivial matters to immerse herself in the teaching of Christ and on the kingdom of God. She chose that good part. There's a play on words in the Greek here. the meaning peace. Martha was worried. Mary chose that good part. But both have the same Greek root, the word maris. All the pieces to focus on life. Mary chose the good part. Martha was worried about all the parts. Hey, what piece are you choosing? Connecting this with being servant-hearted and kingdom-minded, throughout his ministry, Jesus urged his disciples to engage in kingdom work, to join him serving others. It's him that wins the soul. It's him that allows the gospel to get out. It's all him that we get our strength and power for. He chooses to use us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He never intended for the good deeds and the obedience to replace the good part, the personal relationship with the King. Looking at Mary and Martha's home, they had the same time pressures. They had the same tension between task and relationships. They had the same personality conflicts and the same family clashes over priorities that we all do today. Jesus is telling us the most important, the key, to peace and power in your life is to have the right priorities. Jesus first, others, then ourselves. It is vitally important that we spend time at the feet of Jesus each and every day, letting him share his word with us in prayer to him. The most important part of the Christian life is that part that God sees. Unless we take time to meet Christ personally and privately each day, we will soon end up like Martha, busy, but not blessed. Thus, the great secret of life is you must not only give, but you must sit at his feet and learn of him. And when we do this, the God of all peace, Philippians 4:9, will guard your heart and your mind and grant you peace, that peace that passes all understanding. Many times, in closing, many times I've heard this passage taught wrongly, that Mary and Martha are contrasted, though that every believer has to make a choice, be a worker like Martha or a worshiper like Mary. Understand the Christian life is not an either-or situation when it becomes Mary or Martha. We are to be both. It's evident that the Lord wants each of us to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work. See, we're imbalanced many times. We focus so much on worshiping that we don't take time to be servant-hearted and kingdom-minded, but sometimes we spend so much time servant-hearted and kingdom-minded that we're not Christ-focused. Hey, blessed are the balanced. What'd I say? Servant-hearted, kingdom-minded, balance that out with being Christ-focused. Don't be either extreme. Be servant-hearted, be kingdom-minded, but most of all, be Christ-focused. Few things are damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. I'll give you an example. If I'm all the time pouring myself out, I'm empty inside. My inner man suffers. I have to take time to fill up the inner man. Let me take it more practical. If I'm driving my car, eventually I'm going to run out of gas. If I don't take time to go to the gas station to get gas from a gas tank, there's going to come a time where I run out of gas and I'm empty. I have to be full of the Holy Spirit. I have to be full of the Word of God. I have to take time with Him. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. It's a matter of priorities. I close with this thought. What if Jesus showed up this coming Sunday morning at our church unexpectedly, like He did that day at Martha's home? What would He find? Would He find Christians too busy serving or distracted or worried or not even focused on the worship service at hand because they didn't even notice them come in because they haven't taken time to get to know Him? Would He find people there that doesn't know Him at all? Would He find Christians that are doing everything except praying and seeking His face? Only you can answer that question. I hope and trust when you come to your whatever church it is you go to, you go on Sunday morning with a heart of worship, preparing your heart for worship on Saturday night and Sunday morning, blocking out those distractions so you can meet with God. When you get up every morning, before you get started for your day, are you taking time just to get with God, filling up your life? Are you being kingdom-minded? Are you being servant-hearted? Are you being Christ-focused? That, my friend, is the challenge of Luke 10, And that's the challenge I want to remind us all as a church as we go forward for Him. Hey, thank you so much for listening to these Bible studies. Thank you so much for watching. And looking forward to a good Lord's Day this coming Sunday. This will be our last Sunday as two services, 9 and 10:30. Looking forward to July when we go back to one service. But until then, hope to see you Sunday morning as we meet together. But until then, love you. Hope you have a great weekend and a great day.